makers of X-Lax present Strange as It Seems. The show goes on. Strange history walks the earth again. Science, politics, history, current events all contribute strange stories for this series, which is brought to you twice each week by the makers of X-Lax, the original chocolated laxative. Tonight's program brings you an almost unbelievable story of a dog and a strange tale about a game that cost hundreds of lives. But before these dramatic episodes begin, may we add another strange fact about the largest selling laxative in the whole wide world? We refer to X-Lax, of course. Do you know that if the 46 million boxes of X-Lax used in America last year alone were placed one upon the other, they would reach 91 times higher than Mont Blanc, that mighty monarch of the Alps? But then, it is logical that X-Lax should be the world's favorite laxative. To begin with, X-Lax is delightful to take. It tastes just like velvety, delicious chocolate, a welcome change from those unpleasant and harsh remedies. Then, too, it is so mild and so gentle that you hardly know you have taken a laxative. Yet, for all its mildness, it is thoroughly and completely effective. Kind to your taste, kind to your system, and kind to your purse, since X-Lax cost only 10 cents a box at any drugstore. The Dog Who Came Back.
Throughout the ages, man has had one friend among the animals, the dog. The dog alone has taken man in preference to his own kind, has elected to remain by his master in sickness and in health, as long as they both shall live. Dixon, Missouri. Mr. and Mrs. Ellis Colburn of Pomona, California, are visiting their relatives, Mr. and Mrs. Howard Miller. The two men are seated on the porch. Beside Colburn is his German shepherd dog named Prince, who came along with them in the car.
It sure has been a nice visit, Howard.
Yes, I wish you could stay longer in Missouri, but I know you want to drive further east before you go back to California.
Sure do. Although, mind you, there's no place like California. Well, hello there, Prince. How's the boy, huh?
I bet he knows you're talking about leaving him with us.
What's the matter, boy? Come on, boy. Come on there. That's a nice fella.
That dog's so crazy about you, Ellis, I don't think he'll be happy without you.
We just can't cart him around anymore in the car. He's too big, and they won't take him in the hotels. Oh, it isn't as if we were going to leave him forever. It'll only be a few weeks. We'll pick him up on the way back home.
Oh, I guess he'll be happy, but you never know about a dog.
Ellis, help me close this suitcase, will you? We've got to get started right off.
All right, be right in. Howard, maybe you'd better put Prince out in the barn until we've gone. He might howl or try to get away.
The Colburns drive away. Prince hears the car as it goes out of the driveway. His ears catch the last sound of the wheels in the road. For a few weeks, Prince wanders around the house in Missouri, forlornly looking at the usual places where his beloved master might be. At last, he can bear it no longer. His master has left him. He is forsaken. But perhaps if he went out to find him, if he finally went back to his home in California, he might see his family again. And so, one day...
Here, Prince. Here, boy.
Can't you find him, Howard?
I've been calling for him for the last hour.
You don't suppose he went out to the barn, do you?
Well, I've looked all around.
Oh, dear, Ellis will have a fit. He was crazy about that dog.
Now, don't you worry, dear. Prince will probably turn up after a while. He'll come back when he's hungry.
But Prince does not come back. That night he sleeps on the side of the road, his feet worn with constant running, his tongue lolling out of his mouth. Days go by, weeks pass. No one would recognize Prince now. His ribs show plainly through his moth-eaten coat. His feet are cut and bleeding from the sharp stones on the road. At last, he wanders to the edge of the desert, more than halfway along the long road to California. Two prospectors see him.
Hey, look over there. Is that a wolf?
Yeah, it does look sort of like one.
But the government better pay for a wolf pelt.
Yeah?
Oh, I got my gun here. Wait a minute. Where is he now?
Over there. See? He just crawled into that clump of greasewood. See? He's a-laying down.
Yeah, well, here goes. I hope I can get him with the first shot.
Hey. Huh? He wags his tail. That ain't no wolf. A wolf don't do that.
A dog, huh? Come on, old boy. Come on.
Prince timidly approaches the two men, gently accepts the bit of meat offered him. That night he starts off again. At last, after months of weary searching, Prince trots up to the family home on West 8th Street in Pomona, California, after traveling more than 2,000 miles. The door does not open. The house is empty. His family have moved. For a day, he waits patiently, expectantly, but realizes at last that he must search once more. Instinct tells him to go downtown where the crowds pass each other. Prince stands on a downtown street corner. Suddenly, his heart leaps. Across the street from him, about to get into her car, is a woman whom he knows to be a friend of his family. Prince starts across the street. The woman, Mrs. Doner, is talking to a friend.
I'm going over to the Colburns this evening. Give them my love. They had a wonderful trip east, but Ellis was terribly upset about losing their dog. He ran away from the folks in Missouri.
Well, you can't afford to be too fond of an animal. Something always happens to them, and then you cry your eyes out.
Why, what's that? Why, that dog, look. He licked my hand.
My goodness, the poor creature's half starved.
Well, I wonder why he licked my hand. What's the matter? Oh, what's the trouble, boy? Are you hungry?
Well, he knows you.
He looks something like Prince. He knows my name. Hello, Prince. It is Prince. It is. I'm going right into the drugstore and call the Colburns. That dog came home all by himself. I wonder what instinct told him where to go.
And so Prince came home again, back to the master he'd traveled 2,100 miles to find. Strange as it seems, Prince, a German shepherd dog, found his way across mountains and deserts back to his home in California, all the way from Dixon, Missouri. Strange, unbelievable, but true, as are all facts on these programs. The fatal lacrosse game. How many of you know that the game of lacrosse was originated many centuries ago by Indians living in what is now Canada? During a game, the line often shifted a distance of 5 or 10 miles, and over 1,000 men sometimes took part on either side. The Indians called it bagatawe, but the French Canadians called it lacrosse because of the netted stick used in the game by the contestants. One of the most terrible stratagems ever conceived had its basis in a lacrosse game held at the Canadian fort Michilimackinac on July 4th, 1763. Fort Michilimackinac has just been annexed by the English after the defeat of the French. Pontiac, leader of the Ottawa Indians, has come to the fort to present his compliments to Major Robert Rogers, commander of the English garrison holding the fort.
Chief Pontiac, England recognizes in you a leader of men. A valuable friend, but a deadly enemy. We know that you are not friendly to us. You are loyal to the French, who have hitherto held this fort. Can we not come to agreeable terms?
Why, Chief, that why Pontiac here today?
Ah, I'm glad to hear it, Pontiac. Surely we English are as fair and just as the French.
Justice, not reason. When French hold fort, my people made welcome. Indian know he get food and shelter if he come to French fort. Now English here. No more Indian welcome. No more he break bread, share blanket.
Well, we'll try to remedy that.
Good. I come here talk about smoke pipe peace. At full moon, My tribe ask you, your soldiers, watch our game, Bagtawe.
Thank you, Chief Pontiac.
Tribe won't answer. Pontiac, wait.
I will speak to my men and give you an answer.
Good.
When Major Rogers discovers that over 2,000 Indian braves will take part in the lacrosse game, he refuses to send his men away from protection of the fort. Pontiac graciously offers to bring the game just outside the fort so that the English will not have to leave.
Captain Montjoy, have you ever seen a fiercer game?
I never have, Major. Those savages are cutting each other to pieces. Good God, Major. They think nothing of laughing off an ear.
If they come any nearer the fort, we'll have to keep out of the way. Better warn the men not to get into the line of the game. They may be hurt.
Men, you and your comrades stay close to the walls of the fort. Look, the line has shifted directly in front of us now. I hope they don't tear down the walls.
I was wise in suggesting that we remain near the fort. We can always retire if the game becomes too violent.
Major, I don't like them to play so close to us. Look at their faces covered with blood. Look at their eyes.
Oh, nonsense, Montjoy. There's no need for fright. It's merely a gesture of friendship.
I'm not so certain of that, Major. Major, they're coming into the fort. It was a trick. Quick, quick, take the arms. Take the arms.
Strange as it seems, this seemingly innocent lacrosse game at Fort Michilimackinac resulted in one of the bloodiest massacres ever perpetrated by the Indians. The unsuspecting English were suddenly surprised by the Ottawa Indians, and every man in the fort was killed. Crafty Pontiac had indeed had his revenge.
Thrilling battle, wasn't it? But rather grim, too. However, it's safely in the past, so now let's talk about something pleasant. For instance, about the little chocolated laxative tablet that took all the torture out of laxative time and made it a treat instead. We mean X-Lax, of course. To begin with, X-Lax is so mild and so gentle that you can scarcely believe that you have taken a laxative. And yet, for all its mildness, X-Lax is completely and thoroughly effective. It is this rare combination of qualities that has made X-Lax the largest-selling laxative in the whole world. In America alone, more than 46 million boxes were used last year. If you haven't tried X-Lax, then get a box and try it the very next time you need a laxative. You will find it so agreeable and pleasant and so efficient that we don't think any other laxative will ever do for you. The price is pleasant, too. Only 10 cents a box at any drugstore. Once there was a bottle that sailed around the horn by itself. In the United States, there was a man who was a human horse. Listen to the next broadcast. You will also visit the city laid out as a trick. You have just heard Strange as It Seems by John Hicks, with original music composed and conducted by Felix Mill. A penny is worth 2 cents.